It's me, Johnny, and with me, I've got DJ D and Farmer.
Hey.
Welcome back, Farm.
The truth is, actually, they couldn't pay my salary for the last two episodes, so
we
had to
cut back a little bit. Yeah, we had to make him a contract employee. It was a whole thing. Yeah.
I'm a guest still star gets now.
He still gets like top billing, but yeah, for some reason, like halfway through the season, he had to go on a trip. You know, and he's not in the episodes.
That's why, you know, my time here is very sporadic at some points. And yeah, there's a big cut the last couple of weeks. This is how it goes.
Chokers. Yeah, y'all need to start supporting us more so we can get Farmer on every week. You know, he's a busy man.
Yeah. So go ahead and, you know, use our non-existent sponsors.
Yeah,
that'll be really awkward if this gets like post like sponsored, you know, like in the future.
That would be awesome. Next week, I don't know that I will be here because I will have traveled from Japan to America, and like I may have been at my in-laws' house for like an hour by the time that we would start the podcast, kind of a deal, you know. So like maybe I won't be up for it, but I will try and make it. We'll see.
Hey, we could always push it real late. Like we don't care. Like 10:30.
Next week might be my last podcast ever because the next day is when I actually finally play Golem. So I mean,
oh my god. Ugh. Speaking about new games, though, not that Golem's a super new game. I just installed Marvel Rivals, and I have on a There's a couple things. One, it is crossplay. But is there cross progression? Because I installed it on my Steam Deck and on my Xbox, and there doesn't seem to be cross progression.
That's a good question, actually. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Apex used to be that way, and then they merged it. It's not a big deal because when I first started, I was getting these like notifications on my Steam Deck that it's like, oh, like this is not compatible. You know, it needs to be Windows. It needs to be NVIDIA. And I was able to still load in and play one game. But like whenever I would load out of a game, I would just get a black screen. But after a little bit of tweaking, I have the game totally working, and I've been playing quite a bit. It's a lot of fun. So I guess the second thing I want to say about it is Overwatch. You guys were 100% right.
It very much is. Oh,
it really is.
I mean, yeah.
Even down to the way that they have it, like, the paths you take and the way they have it all, like, geared.
Laid out.
Like that. Yeah, the way it's laid out and... like it just feels like it, and in the objectives, like you don't have to learn anything new. You're literally doing the same kind
Overwatch.
Of thing, you know, like payloads, yeah, you know, and all that sort of thing. Push the payload back and forth.
So, well,
and what I've always said too is that, like, if you're gonna, like, you can either do something super novel and original and win my heart that way, or you can do something that like other people have done, but just do it as well or better, you know. And I mean, right. Like. It seems like they chose the latter, but like they've done a really good job, I will say.
Well, and a couple of brownie points for them is just the fact that they have a very well known IP that people know
right.
and love. You know, yeah. It's just.
I mean, and then even to have the skins, like they have MCU skins. So yeah. It's like, oh, this is what he looks like in our game. It's the character you like, but he's in our game. Oh, you want that MCU skin, though? We have MCU
smart.
Skins
it
for
was,
them.
It was smart, you know.
Super, well, and what a great way for it to feel. I mean, of course it is Marvel, but it's like so clearly Marvel, you know? That being said, why didn't Marvel just approach Activision Blizzard and have them do it? You know? Is it just the money? Like, I don't know.
I'm curious how in the world they got the IP rights in general,
right.
Just, you know, to do it. Like, it's crazy.
Especially... like NetEase doesn't necessarily seem like a studio that like you'd think of immediately when it comes to like something like kind of like this scale of project.
Right, this big.
But also, like when it released, there were zero issues, right? There were no queue times, like all the servers worked and everything. There were like no huge bugs. Like, I mean, like it was a very smooth launch, which was shocking, you know? I mean,
hey, games don't do that anymore.
Yeah, they really don't. Yeah. Like, even when they seem like they're prepared, they're not, you know? I mean...
Yeah, how many companies, like, have to do this whole server testing? Like we'll do a couple stress tests for the week before, and then when it launches, it's still, you know, like, what was the testing for if it's still going to break?
and you're like, the beta ran better than this, right? Your stress test ran better than your actual launch. What is going on? They're but like, oh, like after the stress test, we figured out we only needed 3 servers.
I feel like less and less people like actually download betas though too. So that might not necessarily be like the best like
metric. Probably not the best way to test.
To like judge like an actual launch of. Yeah.
But also, Overwatch does a couple things better. Overwatch makes it clear what every class does. I still have no idea. There's what? There's Vanguard, there's Duelist, and then Strategist. Now, let me... So, I have only played one character. I've only played Thor, who is a Vanguard.
Are we surprised? Wait, just 1 second. Are we surprised? I mean, I could have predicted... I pretty much did in my head. You know, Johnny's going to play Thor. He's going to play
Don't know what Vanguard means. Duelist, my assumption is they're about killing other gods, right? Or other gods, other people, right? That's their focus, is like melee. But like Strategist, what is that? What is a strategist? Most of the teams I've been like match made into is mostly duelists. Also, like people playing mostly the duelist characters.
Is the strategist the ones that, you know, they can attack, but they can also strategically help the team, like almost like a healer, like have like.
Oh, is that what they are? Are they healers?
I think maybe that's what it is. Like because you swap back and forth because they a lot of those characters that are healers also have very decent attacks.
Okay. Yeah, because so Thor is definitely kind of not a healer.
No. He's definitely like a tank.
He's kind of like a tank. Yeah, I do like him a lot. He's fun. I wish he had a... In the same way of Overwatch, there's no sprinting, right? So, that is a little bit jarring. I played Thor. He's the only one I've played in an actual game. I tried Wolverine,
by the way,
in practice. And I tried Iron Fist in practice. He was a lot of fun. But it's interesting, though, because I feel like I see all the same characters, though. A lot of people play Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch. I've seen a lot of Jeff the Shark guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen a lot of Venom. I've seen a lot of Venom. I feel like I fight a Venom every game.
He also has the ability, like Jeff the Shark, to, like, swallow.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. So people like that ability because they can throw whole teams off the map. Yeah, good time.
I have yet to fight another Thor, and I have done pretty well. I've had some games where I've done awesome. I've had some games that, like, no, we had a really bad team, and it didn't go well. I want to try a few other characters, but so far it's been fun. I really like it.
That's been it for me, has been, like, games where, like, I'll even play the same character, and in back-to-back matches, I'll either do, like, really well or really badly. It's like, wait, this, like, I was just playing this character. Like, what the heck?
But I think I don't think that the roles are as clearly defined as Overwatch's roles were. And we still run into, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm just doing like quick matches. Everyone's just kind of doing the same thing. There's not a lot of strategy going on in it, right? People are just going in and killing and such. It would be a lot of fun to play with a team. Y'all wanna play some Marvel Rivals? Play with a team?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm going to say yes for a farmer, too.
I don't know. Can you have double of the same hero? Probably not. I haven't noticed. Or else I feel like everyone would be Venom.
I don't think there's
not in the first two modes. There's that like third mode, which is like custom or something like that, where I think you can. But like, I think that's also like, I don't think that match makes. So
I have only played quick match, so I don't even know what the different modes are.
Well, there's quick match, then there's competitive, and then there's the like custom. I think.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I feel like once I got it working, I saw you guys were playing it a lot, and I saw Tuna playing it a lot, and then I got it working on my Steam Deck, and now nobody plays it anymore. That's how it always is. You know, I don't feel like anyone's playing it.
I think Tuna was just playing on the stream yesterday, I think.
Yeah, they're going back and forth. You know, it's just during the wrong part of the week.
I've been playing a lot of Ghosts of Tsushima, you guys. Oh, God, so good.
Really so good, isn't it? They did a fantastic job.
I am super hyped for the sequel. Also, I don't know if you guys saw, so there's a lot of sales going on right now, right? Pre-Christmas sales.
Yeah, I was telling my brother earlier about all the sales, and actually that's kind of what I've been doing. You know, that's why I got distracted, because I went through and got a lot of good deals on actually Xbox. I went through Xbox stuff, not actually Steam. Oh. I can't imagine how many good deals are on Steam right now.
So one of the games I kind of want to get, but I'm not sure yet, but it's actually a pretty good sale. Has anyone here played Dragon Age Veilguard yet?
No.
I have not yet. I really want to, though. It's on my list, for sure.
It's on my list. It's 35% off on Steam, so it's only $40 instead of $60. You know, I'm like, is that a deep enough cut on the sale that I, like, you know, pull the trigger and take the plunge on it? I don't know. Thinking about it.
That seems like a really good sale.
Especially for a brand new game, right?
When it'll go lower than that anytime soon, yeah.
But I haven't played the game, and I don't know. I'm a little... I'm not sure. I'm a little wary of the game. Like, people... Like, the reviews are up and down on it, but it seems like the stuff people are mad about are things that I wouldn't care about so much, you know? It's hard to say. The simplification of games doesn't bother me as deeply as it bothers other people. You know, where, like, it seems very much like, from what I was reading, and not to get into any spoilers for the game, people felt like their choices didn't matter as much in that game, which usually matters more in BioWare-type games, right? Or Dragon Age, just in general. And they didn't feel like it made such a big difference. But for me personally, I don't really care about that. You know, I mean, I do kind of, but it's, like, not the biggest deal in the world. And I don't know if it's a good game, isn't it? I feel like people are just looking for stuff to hate.
If it's scripted well enough, like, then that doesn't ultimately matter, right? Like, as long as it makes sense. Like, if you become, like, a mass murderer and then you're hailed as, like, a, you know, a virtuous hero at the end, it's like, wait a second. Like, I mean, like, I feel like that
sounds just like real life.
Like, outcome.
You know, that feels just like real life. Hey, listen, freaking, what a hero. Look at this guy.
But I mean, like, you know, like, I feel like as long as it makes sense with the story, I don't care as much either. Like, I mean, Baldur's Gate could have, like, I know that it doesn't, but it could have ultimately, like, had, like, the same, like, ending for everyone or whatever, regardless of what you do. And I think, like, that would have been fine if it was, like, scripted well enough, you know?
It's interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, well, the beginning, you know, pretty much starts the same, too, for everybody. So, I mean, if you can get either one of those right, you know, it would work, you know.
Right. Or, but like, as long as Starfield ends the same for everyone, as far as I'm aware.
I think it's about the middle point of the game where the people feel like they're making an iconic run through that's different. As long as it feels like it's, like, very unique.
Would you guys, are you on that, or are you more on the, it's not as impactful writing, but the gameplay is really well done, right? Almost like a telltale versus a Monster Hunter, you know, so to speak. Because, like, tough. It seems that, again, and I haven't played the game, but it seems that a lot of the complaints are people feeling like, oh, like, our choices don't matter and all that. But they all say the gameplay is nice, which is what I felt was lacking in even Dragon Age Origin, which is the only one I've played, by the way. I've only played Origin.
Didn't you play Inquisition?
Inquisition. Sorry, yeah. Not Origin. Dragon Age Inquisition is the only one I played.
A lot of those games have, you know, been so narrative driven. So maybe if it's a little bit of a journey away from that, like, even like changing that a little bit, maybe, you know, I could see where people are a little, you know, like, maybe a little frustrated that it's not the same thing that it was. But I mean, if they improve the mechanics and it's good enough to go with, I mean, I haven't played them, so I don't know, but I don't know.
Where would you land? Do you land more on, you care about, like, a really strong story and such, and, like, the gameplay doesn't matter as much, or do you care a little more about the gameplay and a little less about the story? Where do you land on that? I land more on the gameplay side, right? I land more on, listen, if it's a fun game, you know, I played Destiny 2 for a long time, which is, like, the only thing that Destiny 2 taught me is that bullets solve every problem, you know? Like, that's the story of Destiny 2.
Yeah, I think I would land more like, okay, if we have an S tier mechanics as far as, like, in the game, like, if it feels good, like, when you grab that controller and everything just feels right, you know, everything is just flowing, that kind of plays into the story for me, you know, whereas it can be a B type story driven game, you know, it doesn't have to be like so awesome as long as they get all the rest of it right. it makes the game awesome. It makes the story seem like it's awesome. Doesn't have to be necessarily awesome.
What about you?
I'm like right in between. Like I really like I think it varies. I think in general, so long as one of them is overwhelmingly good and the other one is good enough, I'm pretty satisfied. But like if one of those two falls below good enough, then I have a problem. So like I'll use two examples here. Like I'm playing Immortals of Avium, right? And near the end of it. And the story isn't the best, but the gameplay is pretty fun, you know? Like, I mean, and also, I would also say Atlas Fallen, too. Atlas Fallen, I don't know what the story is. Like, it's good enough. It feels kind of generic. I don't necessarily care that much, but the gameplay's a blast, right?
Yeah. And the gameplay's a blast. The visuals and, like, getting in the sand and just the co-op is great. And I think that just makes the game. Like, we don't have to know the story so much as we're just in that universe, you know, just wondering and figuring out what's going on, you know, one step at a time.
One of the examples, like, I think... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, D.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, games like Baldur's Gate 3, like, I've tried to get into other, like, turn-based games or whatever, and they just don't necessarily hit the same way. But Larian does such a good job with story that, like, I'm hooked, and I'm in there, you know? Like, even if the gameplay doesn't necessarily super appeal to me. Like, and with it, it actually makes the gameplay better because I actually care, you know? There's that investment, so.
Well, and I think that's the difference between the different styles of story driven games too, because those are so much geared differently that it's a different thing.
Well, and how much of it is that shift too, though? So Baldur's Gate is like the sandbox. Every choice you make matters, right? Like, and like, or that's the idea. And so you have this free sandbox. You can go anywhere you want versus like the minecart idea. Where, like, for example, I feel like The Witcher 3 isn't a great example because there are a couple endings, but, hey, get in this minecart and you're going to have a good time. It's on rails. You're going through a preset route, but it's a good time, right? It's a good example of that, like, Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Loved that game, but it very much, it didn't have different endings. It was an experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's very that. Linear. I think of, yeah, very well. I mean, there were some different ways, kind of like Halo 1. There was a couple different ways to do stuff, but in general, pretty linear. Like,
yeah, very linear. But
90%.
That's the fun part about it with games like that. They leave it a little open enough to get your wandering side in, and then go back to the
what
main
Assassin's
story
Creed used to be, right? Before it just got like they just dumped way too much stuff into it. Honestly, that's what I like about Ghost of Tsushima. Is it feels like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. You know, there's just enough stuff in it that I feel like I'm doing a lot, but it's not overwhelming at all. You know, and
you don't have 1,000 collectibles that you have to get from everywhere.
Yeah, just 40, right? And that feels very manageable over the course of a whole game. 48 flags. I can manage 48 flags.
40 flags for 40 hours in a game. You know, let's go.
Yeah.
I'll also say the multiplayer mode of Ghost of Tsushima. Like the co-op campaign for it, like which is a completely different story or whatever, like felt very much like what we all wish Assassin's Creed Unity was, you know, or, you know, any of that.
But going back, D, you would have an insight on this. I heard, so the only Fallout game I've played is Fallout 4, really, like I barely played 76. But I've heard complaints about Bethesda games in the same way, right? Skyrim. Oversimplified Oblivion to the point that a lot of Oblivion fans did not like Skyrim. I did really like Skyrim. And I heard similar things about Fallout, like that Fallout 4 compared to Fallout 3, like oversimplified a lot of things and people felt it wasn't as deep or good of a game. I mean, did you feel that way, D?
I didn't play Fallout 4, so I can't really speak to
that. Did you not?
No. I wanted to play it in VR and it kept on crashing. And so I never actually ended up playing it.
One of those things, yeah.
Yeah. But I would say in general, I feel like you could definitely say that to some degree about certain games. Like, even like with the latest Dragon Age, from everything I've heard. Still haven't played that, obviously. But, like, I feel like simplification overall isn't necessarily a bad thing. It kind of makes the game more accessible.
But that's probably your intention, right? Yeah. Like to get more people to experience the game and get invested into that universe. It's probably what they're going for.
Yeah, but like I think that it, like as you still have to like retain some semblance of identity to that game, right? Like I mean, like one of the complaints about Dragon Age Vanguard or Veilguard is that it's very different from Inquisition in the way that like it approaches like even just like normal gameplay and everything. But a bunch of the Dragon Age games have been different from each other. So if this was a departure from like an established formula that like every other Dragon Age game has had, I feel like that complaint would carry a lot more weight. But them continuing to like just throw things at the wall and see what people like, I think is okay, you know? Or like
Well, because one of everybody the issues likes that we had different with, things, you know.
Well, and Halo 4 multiplayer is actually a pretty good example of this too, where like Halo 4 multiplayer was a departure from like the established like feel of Halo. Right?
No.
And we all had problems with like the way that that felt.
What about that Halo 5 mode where you had less health and stuff? Do you remember what was that called again? Where you like
Breakout.
I love that. I love Breakout.
I liked that, but yeah, I do know that it was controversial, but I did like it.
Oh man, I still like that, man. I actually made remade a map for Infinite and I never published it, but I had a lot of fun remaking it just for nostalgic purposes, but yeah, I love that mode.
I think there's nothing wrong with like wanting to like stay like super complex and super complicated and not be mainstream, but you have to like accept then that it's going to be a niche game. Like, you know.
Yeah. And people don't, they're like, "No, I want my AAA, you know, hundreds of million dollar budget game and I want it to be niche." And I mean, there's a level of nostalgia to it too, right? Of like, I played all of the Dragon Age games since I was a kid and I had a ton of free time then. And like, all I thought about was Dragon Age and now it's different. Like, I think there's a degree of that, you know? And I think about that visual bit. I'm using my iPhone as my camera right now. And the iPhone, when you use it as like a webcam and stuff, if you like do a thumbs up, it does a thumbs up on the screen. And it keeps thinking my thumb is up and it keeps like on my video doing that. Like if I do a peace sign, if I do the heart. Yeah, see, it does all of this stuff. Visual bit, guys, if you were here, like there is someone actually in our studio audience right now. If you were here in the studio audience, you would see it. Anyway, all of that to say, I kind of want to buy it for $40. It seems like it's worth it. I do like Dragon Age, but I'm also, I love change. I love when games change things up, which is funny because I don't love it when Fortnite does it. But like, I think the thing with that is it's not the same game, right? Like I could play Fortnite Classic or whatever they're calling it, original, I don't know. But like, OG. I can go back and play Dragon Age Inquisition, right? That didn't change. The fact that there's a new game and there are changes to me is a little bit exciting, right? Like that's pretty cool. But then there are some games that don't change. Well, I shouldn't even say that. Like the change from Civilization 5 to Civilization 6, there were quite a few changes in that game. Annoying mechanics they got rid of, new annoying mechanics that they put in, you know?
Yeah, it's like having cake but having a different flavor, maybe even different icing, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just right. Like sometimes you gotta mix it up.
And talking about change and mixing things up, you know what hasn't changed? The Witcher. Because in The Witcher 3, for all of those who are complaining about Ciri being the main character of The Witcher 4, I don't know if you remember, a decent amount of the story missions you played as Ciri.
And yeah, I saw that they announced that, I think that it makes so much sense because they were already kind of transitioning in Witcher 3 to be a lot of Ciri. I mean, she wasn't like the main, but she was not very small either. She was like half almost maybe a quarter, maybe a third.
Not only was she like a third of the story missions, but like you couldn't not do it. And she played different than Geralt. You know, you had to learn how to play as her. I actually, it sounds funny, I didn't like it. you know, because like she was faster but didn't hit as hard, at least for like, you know, how I built Geralt. I built him to be, you know, a heavy dude. He wore heavy armor.
Are we really surprised though that Johnny would build something like a tank at this point?
Yeah, like it's great. And then like Siri, man, it's like Siri, dude, she can't take a hit. You know, man, you take a hit, you're screwed.
But she was
all so about speed. All
finesse,
about speed.
Man. She was so finesse with all her abilities. I love Nox.
The trailer was great, but I am shocked that people are mad because
really?
I'm a little bit because you played as her in the last game. Is it just that like people's media literacy is down?
I think
they
that's
clearly
part of it.
Wrapped up Geralt's storyline. He had a whole trilogy. They clearly wrapped it up in the third Witcher game. And even in that game, they were prepping their new protagonist who you played as.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, like, the writing was on the wall for sure.
Right? It just seemed so obvious. And people are mad about it. It's so weird.
I mean, gamers being mad. I'm not very surprised.
If people want to be mad, what they should be mad about is that the Witcher books suck.
Well, there's
I just finished the third book. They're terrible. I hate those. At this point, I have like four more books to read, and I'm considering just stopping because they're so bad.
That's interesting.
Don't read them. If you like The Witcher, like I do, don't read the books because the books suck.
Normally people
don't say this, but this is an important point to make because I got through it. So the first two books published, they're not a part of the main story, right? It's like an anthology of these random stories. And it's like, okay, I got it. And then the third book, it's like, okay, now we're like actually starting the story. It's terrible. Terrible. And I don't know how any Witcher fan thought that the show was going to be good, because honestly, reading the books makes the show better to me, because I'm like, how did anyone think that they could adapt this trash into an interesting show? And but for reference, I will bring up a specific thing. The books are weirdly non-visual. So like they'll be like Yennefer's teaching Ciri a spell. And she's like, all right, hold your hand like this. Nope, not like that. Oh, put a little more juice into it. Oh no, like the shed exploded. But it doesn't say that like she shot. It doesn't say anything. That's it. What I just quoted to you was like, that's what they wrote. And so in a weird way, your imagination is left to kind of figure out what it would be. But like, I like this story. I like these characters. I'm familiar with it. And it's hard for me to follow. There are like these weird time jumps even still in the books that are, and they don't say anything, D. So literally they'll like bring in these characters. You don't know how long it's been since you've seen them. And then Ciri's like, I didn't like you when we first met. Flashback to when they first met. And then it's like 80 pages of weird flash forwards until the end of the chapter, which is the present. And it's just like, why is it like this? Why is it like this? This is awful. Terrible. But this is the cherry on top. Do you want to hear the cherry on top? Apparently, the books... Yes, no, exactly. The person in our audience, I don't want to say your name, is like, usually the books are better than the show and movie. I know. You would think, and that's... I've never said this, that the book sucks and the game better. I would even say the shows are better. But apparently... So the books are originally written in Polish. And apparently, what sucks is the English translation of the books.
Interesting.
In Polish, they're pretty good. Some of the people are like, oh, I've read the Czech translation. I've read the German translation. They're pretty good. Apparently, they're way wittier. And like each character has a really unique voice and such. I even read this one comment that was like, I'm surprised there are any English speaking fans of these books because the English translation is so bad. And what they said for it was that it was the fantasy genre in English is kind of oversaturated. And so there's not a high priority or high budget for like translating other languages into English because there's already such a big space in fantasy. And as opposed to there's a higher demand to translate fantasy already written in English to another language. And so whatever publisher translated the books and is the one distributing it, apparently they didn't do a great job. And apparently if I spoke Polish or German or Czech, I would enjoy it more. So if you speak or read any of those languages, I would encourage you to check out the books and enjoy something that I can't. Because, D, you know, I would actually encourage you to read them, because I really, maybe now that you have lower expectations, you'll be like, Johnny, they weren't that bad, but like, man, they're bad. Like, it's really not so good.
I went through them with a narrator, and I didn't read them, like, just straight up. I had somebody actually read them to me.
Audiobook? Read them to you.
Audible. Through Audible. I actually found
that
experience
better. I was thinking
you hired
someone to read them to you.
I hired somebody. No. So I came out of playing Witcher 3, and then going back and then playing some of the others, and then, to this, you know, it was like, okay, this is basically like short stories or something, you know, different. Yeah. And then when it got to this, you know, I guess I didn't really think about it as much because I wasn't reading it. You know, I was also working at the time. So I was just like, okay, that's different. That's not as good. That's totally different. It wasn't too bad, but because of the way that he narrated it and I wasn't actually reading the text, maybe that helped me, but I wasn't thinking that, oh, that's so bad, but it wasn't like great either. And I could tell that it wasn't easy to follow either. You know, it's just like back and forth and back and forth. And how does this make any sense?
That's Farm. It's so disjointed. And also, like, nobody knows anything. And maybe that's the point. Like, the main character, Geralt, is really not an important person in the overarching story. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, so like maybe I'm supposed to feel that way, that I don't get it, but it's also like hard to care. And Geralt also doesn't care about anything in the books. He's just a witcher, and that's all he cares about.
Think, you know, respect the game developers so much with what they did with
Project
Red,
CD Projekt Red.
Yeah. CD Projekt Red did an amazing job to adapt a story that, you know, out of something they made the story.
They did
the story everybody wants, you know.
I mean, this sounds bad. I know Henry Cavill left because they were like straying too far from the books or whatever, but like, I'm gonna be honest with you, that show did a great job adapting that into a visual TV medium. Like, they did a great job, and I'll die on that hill. Like, at this point now, I have way more respect for the people who did the Netflix show, and everyone's like, oh man, it's so bad. Like, I can't believe they ruined this. It's like, how do you ruin a pile of garbage? Right? You can't. Whenever I think about any of the other stuff,
I'm just like, the game is...
Oh yeah, the game
pinnacle.
Is so good.
It is the best.
I 100% agree.
Most of the time, it's not that way, but the game story is the best story.
And I think that's where most of the English-speaking fans come from. I think that's what most of the people feel like they're ruining, is like, oh, no, but I love the game. And it's like, man, you know what? You should read the book and just not... Even though you know what's happening, you have no idea what's happening.
So you make it up as you go.
The interesting thing is, and like, I mean, I don't know, I almost want to learn like Czech or something to like read these like in a different language. But like a lot of the problems you've like mentioned, I feel like wouldn't be fixed with like translation. I don't know. Like, I mean, like the disjointedness, I don't see how that necessarily is fixed by, you know, being in a different language.
I brought up to Koichi that I know that Japanese storytelling tends to be less linear and more disjointed feeling to like Western audiences.
Oh, sure.
And so maybe he would like the story more than I do. Because it's like, I know like the way I'm talking about it makes it sound like I really don't respect it and I think it's bad. I don't think that like Polish storytelling is bad. And what I told Koichi is, I'm like, I'm aware I'm reading a translation, but I guess my point would be that, like, some translations take these kinds of things into account, right? When they like, because like what they're doing is they're like really familiar with the story and like, how do we tell the story in another language in a way that it will leave like an impact on the people who speak that language the same way, right? And so I was like, well, my thoughts, and based on what I read about the Polish version versus the English version specifically, is the strength of the Witcher books is that they, every character has like a really clearly defined voice. And like their conversations are very witty and bantery and memorable. Like when the characters meet, which is a huge part of it, right? Like the stories feel really just jointed, but it's like always these characters meeting and talking. But like in English, it feels very generic. It doesn't feel that way. They don't have clear, unique voices. It just feels like people talking. Also,
oh, like part of my problem with Faragon.
Yeah. Also, the translator loves the word pirouette, like Geralt pirouettes when he's fighting all the time. I don't think he spins. That's not what a pirouette is, a very specific dance move. And so now I imagine Geralt like doing ballet while he's fighting, but like that's what they always use in this English translation is like pirouette. And it's like, I'm pretty sure he's not. It's like when you turn with one leg up, it's like, that's right. Not what he's doing. I know he's not doing that. So like, even like that kind of a thing, right? Like it's such a small thing, but it's like, there is something in here that like this translator is like, oh, it's pirouette. No, it's not. It's spin. He spun. He didn't pirouette. You know, I don't know.
I do remember, like, I think it was like in like 2017 or so, the author came out like very heavily against the games. And yeah. Like part of that apparently was like because like the deal he made with the developers wasn't great for him. Like I think it might have been like a flat fee something.
Yes, like, I believe like it was.
Yeah. Something that he said that he wanted.
He didn't think that the game would be like, successful, and exactly, he like agreed to like a small amount of money instead of like a percentage over time.
But then like one of the other statements he had was like that like the games were taking away from book sales, or like that like his books are the reason The Witcher is popular, and like they made the games popular and not the other way around. And it's like, I mean, I don't know. That's very accurate. Like, I think that might just be, you know, retroactively trying to adjust history there. Rewrite it a little bit, but yeah.
The Witcher games. Sure. Well, that would be like George R. R. Martin saying that like the only reason Game of Thrones was successful was because of his books, not the show. Right? As like a thing. And you know, maybe in Poland and in the, you know, Europe, it's different, but yeah, the game is what made it in like English speaking audiences, you know?
For sure.
Right. But I mean,
the
like
also, the reason that it was the books going are terrible. Movie is because of the game, honestly. It would have never become a movie.
Or maybe it's just, I should say that, I shouldn't say the books are terrible, maybe I should just say that, like, don't have high expectations. Like, they're not written I shouldn't say they're not written well, because, like, I don't know what they're written in their native language, but the English translations that I am reading, which are just the ones on, like, Apple Books, like, the normal one out there that you get, like, on Apple or on Amazon, they're not great. I'm not impressed with them. Like, at this point, I'm going to finish the series just because I want to be able to say I read all the Witcher books, which is, if that's not like the worst thing you can say about a series, I just want to be able to say I did it.
Yeah.
I'm not enjoying it at all.
But like, I've always had like this kind of like somewhat negative connotation of the books because of like that whole argument, right? Like back when that happened. So,
well, you ever feel like wasting some time, feel free to read some Witcher books.
Two of the books. So,
Oh my gosh. You know, actually, before they got into the story, book one and two, which are really like collections of stories that don't totally like line up, I thought those were fine because they're like anthologies. You know, like I thought of them as anthologies, so it didn't bother me so much. But yeah. You know what it is? Nobody's likable. Ciri, Geralt, Yennefer. Like, nobody is likable in the book. And anyway.
There's like a disconnect because of you're jumping around so much that even they aren't feeling they're like, you know, meshing together, like for some reason, like it's all very cut and dry.
I think that. Okay, so like one of the issues with season three of The Witcher was people were like, you know, Yennefer just tried to kill Ciri in season two. How do they expect them? How are we supposed to believe that Yennefer and Ciri like love each other as like a parent and child after everything that happened in season two? Because in the book, in book three, they like love each other, right? It's exactly the same in the book. Literally, it's like they have not even met. And then they meet in the book, but like where they meet in the book for the first time is like after they've been together a year. And guess what? Yennefer treats Ciri like crap for a year, and then Ciri somehow loves her for some reason. Just like in the movie. Or in the show. It's exactly the same. That's a bit of a rant on The Witcher. I am excited for the fourth game, because that's the best Witcher anything. Well, is the fourth game. Or is the games.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, because we go back to, oh, this is the pinnacle of the Witcher storytelling, and we get to go see what they have cooking for the what almost last 10 years or something. I mean, it's been close to 10 years.
Like to see Geralt, or do you not even want to see him?
No, I feel like he has to be in there somewhere because he's the father figure, right?
Old man Geralt, like kind of like Vesemir was.
Well, I'd like to see it, maybe not a third, but like just like a, I'd like to be able to still like play maybe even a little bit as Geralt, like maybe like swap roles in this game. Like you play a little as Geralt, but mostly as Ciri.
Is everyone aware of The Last of Us 2 and like the big twist in the beginning of The Last of Us 2?
I have not played Last of Us 2 yet.
Yeah, I've not really played any of it.
Did you guys watch any streams or no?
No.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, then never mind.
We're free here. We have not been spoiled.
Did you? This is for the audience. I'm going to leave in that long pause of them being like, Johnny, don't say it. I could just bleep it because we bleep now.
Just go.
I would be okay if Geralt isn't in the game at all. I would be okay with that. If they're just like, oh yeah, Geralt's at home with Yennefer and they're just having a good life, that would be fine with me. What I don't want is I don't think they'll do it, but like, I don't want, or even like, what is it? Suicide Squad, right? In Suicide Squad, that, you know, the failure of a game, Batman dies in it, right? And it's like Kevin Conroy's last performance. Am I correct in that? It's like his goodbye performance kind of a deal.
Yeah,
kind of. We actually don't know for sure, and we might never know now, but
well, maybe they'll come out with comics is the only thing I can think.
I don't want Geralt to die in the next game, right? Like, I don't want to deal with that either. I would like it if he wasn't in the game at all, but I wouldn't be opposed to him kind of like Marcus Fenix showing up, you know. Sure. It wouldn't bother me.
I thought Gears 4 actually handled that really well, where like Marcus Fenix, like he's like part of like essentially like this little like story beat or whatever, you know, like you talk with
get
him,
to play as him
he
a little
runs
bit.
Out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You run out of the like building with him and stuff, but like he's not like going to continue on with you on your quest, you know?
Yeah, like, he's just in there for a little slice of the story. Yeah. And I'm right there with you, Johnny. I feel like that would be good just to continue the transition, to make it feel like it's authentic and real to the story. Because just cutting him out completely, I don't think would make sense to me, because they're very well connected.
It would only make sense if it takes place somewhere that like he didn't end up, right? Like, because like in the end of The Witcher 3, spoiler, he ends up like, depending on the ending you have, the ending I ended up with, he ends up living somewhere, right? And so it's like, if that's the case, whatever. That's the other thing. They'll have to choose a canon ending.
There is a canon ending.
Oh, what's the canon ending? What? I'm not familiar with this. I will look it up. Oh, man, it's a big bummer. Geralt died. Sad. That's just a joke. Oh, no. My ending is the canon ending. That's cool.
I'm like, wow, you just spoiled that. Okay.
No.
The canon ending, everybody.
The games, though, are not connected to the books, the storyline of the books.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's true.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, D. So what is canon in the Witcher universe? Who knows? Who knows? But if you're listening to this podcast and you are angry that the next game is about Ciri and you're saying mean stuff, shut up. That's it. That's what I'm going to say.
I mean, basically, like, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion,
delete your account.
But you're wrong. And you also should, you should, I think it's a great idea that if, like, you don't like something, that you, like, look internally to why you don't like it first before trying to externalize that as something being wrong with the thing. I think that's actually a really good strategy and might actually yield some insight. You might learn a little bit about yourself that way.
Actually, I don't want to stir things up, but I'm going to stir things up a little bit. So when you can create a character in a game, right? Uh-huh. Like it's a genderless character you get to choose. It is very popular for male gamers to make a female character, right? Super popular.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like in an open-ended, open-world game. Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, I am bringing this up because I don't. You always start with the same character. I always start with a guy dwarf character. Always. In all things. If I can't have a dwarf, I make him as short as possible. It's so popular for people to make female characters, for guy gamers to make female characters. And they always say the same thing. D, why do they do it? What do they say?
Put you on the spot. I mean, more entertaining for them.
He's not going to say it. I'll say it. They always say the same thing. They say, well, if I'm going to stare at a character for 40 hours, I might as well make a character that's hot. That's what they say. It sounds gross. Chiho's here. She's like, that sounds gross. That's what they always say. They're like, yeah. And that's what everyone says. And anyone listening to this
voice
who is getting upset, you have done it. If you're getting mad right now, you've done it. You're a hypocrite. But as soon as it's a character that you don't get to choose is right, like the main character from Outlaws or like Aloy or, you know, Faith from Mirror's Edge or whoever. As soon as it's a female character, you don't get to choose to be her. Then people get mad. I can't believe they're making me be a girl character. It's like all of your Skyrim characters are girls. Shut up.
I'm going to be honest. My tendency in playstyle tends to fall into most of the female protagonists. And I actually like... tend to play the female characters more because of their play style and their quickness and their
sneakiness.
I don't know. Finesseness of it all. Like the Legolas of it all. Like that's
Farmer
what I guess
is
I feel
a stealth archer. He is a stealth archer in real life.
So when you say these things, I'm just like, man, I can't wait to play more Ciri, honestly.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it just blows me away that like we're having this conversation, D. So we actually had this conversation right before we started that people are upset about it. And it blows me away because I just would not have predicted it. Having been on the internet my whole life, you could not have told me that, Johnny, in the year of our Lord 2024, people are going to be mad about this stuff.
Yep.
And I'd just be like, what? Isn't that like everyone's dream?
It's just like anti-wokeness gone like way, way, way over the bend to this point. Where it's like essentially it's people who like they can't relate directly to something. And so they're afraid that it's taking away from something that they would be able to ordinary. Like in their minds, and this is a misconception, this is inaccurate, but in their minds, like the more diversity in games, the less games they have to play. Or like the less things that they have, like the less media that they have to consume that like directly relates to their life experience or their preference. Right. And that's the problem, is that they're under this idea that like they're essentially their preferences are being replaced when that's not what's happening. Like, generally, diversity is almost always additive, not subtractive. And so, yeah, it's frustrating.
It's just
to see.
Wild.
Yeah. But like this wild. Has been like a thing for like the last like few years, especially like the last two or so. Where it's exploded, where it's like everything is woke now. Everything is like bad because it has like female protagonists because it could have been a male protagonist or something. Or
but,
like,
but here's
if
the funny
it is
thing,
a female
though.
Protagonist, then it's an ugly one in their estimation. It's like, wait, like, I guarantee, like, 5, 10 years ago or whatever, there's worse characters that you enjoyed playing as that were not, like, not nearly as attractive. You know? I mean, like, objectively, Ciri in this new game does not look unattractive, you know, by conventional standards.
But I mean, here's an interesting thing, though. She does look older.
She does look older. Yes,
and
that's true.
One of the things that I enjoy about The Mandalorian, for example, is that there are older people in it. Like, you know, Mando isn't like 18 years old. You know what I mean? He's clearly like older, in his 30s or in, maybe even in his 40s. A lot of the characters are more middle aged. And I don't know why people don't like that.
Yeah, it's not like a lot of these series likes to just do like teenage and 20-year-olds and that's it, you know? It's like there's no variation.
Right. And Geralt was a mutant, so like he doesn't count. But like what's wrong with like letting Ciri be mature like Geralt was? Like if she's going to have her own game, which we knew was going to happen because we played the last game. If you played the last game, there's no way that you would finish with The Witcher 3 and be like, clearly The Witcher 4 is going to be about Geralt. Like, there's just no way.
Just like, no way.
Yeah.
Well, they set it up to be like, okay, she's taking over because she's going on a different path. She's going on her own path. And it makes sense to like kind of deviate to where she's going and follow her story at this point.
And that's how trilogies work.
Hold back, you know, and go.
That's how trilogies work, you guys. There's three of them.
Yeah. If you flip back and say, okay, this is all about Geralt, what is there left to say? What is there left to do? I mean, it's done. You know, it would just be rehashing.
You want to hear the harsh thing, Farmer? The only thing Geralt has left story wise to do is die.
Yeah, I know.
Like, really, that's it. That's all he's got left. Okay, so, like, Geralt can die. He can die for something he believes in, or he could choke, you know, on something.
Yeah.
Oh, there was one thing I wanted to say about the Witcher books before we wrapped up. I do think the Witcher books would benefit from a second reading. Because if you have the whole story kind of internalized, I think it would be easier to put things together as you're reading it versus the first time you read the story, you just feel like, I don't get it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, I don't think we give enough props to like that Watchmen TV show. Like props as we give it, like the fact that that did like a bunch of time jumps and stuff and you didn't necessarily need to rewatch it to like catch everything. Like the way that they like actually handle that is really well done. Like,
I would 100% agree. David pushed this show onto me. He was like, you need to watch this. It's like one of the best shows I've ever watched. I was texting him during it, so he knows. It's just like, I don't get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm like asking all these questions, and he's like, just keep watching. They did a great job tying all of that up. It was really well done.
Yeah.
This is my last Anavcast of the year before I go to America. And it was pretty successful. Does anyone have any closing comments?
One other thing, Johnny. How do you feel about them changing the voice for Ciri?
Did they change Ciri's voice? I did not even notice.
Mm-hmm.
I would say she's older. It's fine.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I'd say too. Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. So yeah, that's all I gotta say.
And for my reference, like, you know, my fan credit here of being a Witcher fan, not only am I reading the books and have watched the show, I did only play The Witcher 3. I would like to play the other games, but it's hard for me to go back and play old games because old games are old. That's what David and I talk about. Old games, they feel old. I don't like that.
Witcher 2 is good. Good to play through. Witcher 1, I don't know. It needs to be remastered. Like, actually, remake. It needs to be a remake.
If they did a remake of The Witcher games, I would play all of them. Like, really, right here we go. I would play them all. I have the Geralt skin in Fortnite. I grinded out to get that. I don't have the Ciri and Yennefer skin, but that's because I got a family. You guys, I got a family to feed. You know, I can't just be buying Fortnite skins all the time. You know?
That's what I'm worried about with Marvel Rivals, is, like, buying skins.
I want to buy that Thor skin because it's on sale, but I'm just not. It's like breaking the seal, right? I'm not going to buy any skins. No, don't do it, Johnny. I think I told you guys I loaded up Fortnite for the first time on the Switch and I immediately spent like $20 and I was like, right, this is why I don't play this game anymore. Immediately bought like a dance and I bought Johnny, my son, the Battle Pass. But that's it. See you guys next week. I think we're going to have a special episode for a NavCon that we can record. That's the plan right now. And yeah, bye.
Get out of here, Craig.